The text for our message this morning is from Matthew, the 14th chapter, our gospel lesson from 2 weeks ago. When Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, had compassion on them, and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted and it's already late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." "They don't need to go away," Jesus told them. "You give them something to eat." "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here," they said to him. "Bring them here to me," he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, in our sermon text for today, Matthew tells us just before that word had reached Jesus of John the Baptist's death. Now, when he heard the news, Jesus needed to get away. He decided to go by boat to a remote place to be alone. You know, the news about John the Baptist's death, I mean, it's tragic, but Jesus' reaction to the news is, in a way, comforting for us. Matthew's reminding us that Jesus had become just like one of us. He knew what it was like to experience our suffering and our needs. So after hearing the news, Jesus needed to be alone. Unfortunately, but probably par for the course in Jesus' ministry, the crowds heard about his departure. They streamed out of the towns to go find him. And by the time he arrived back ashore, he could see the crowd gathering. They were bringing their sick and their loved ones to him in the desperate hope that he might be able to heal them where all else had failed. As he looked out in the crowd that was gathering, he felt compassion for them, and he began to care for their needs. As he was busy helping and healing the people, the time passed, and eventually evening came. The disciples realized they were in a remote, deserted place, and that the crowd was going to need food. So they suggested to Jesus they send the people away into the surrounding villages to buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to the disciples, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." The men responded incredulously, but we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here." "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish? Really?" Over 1,000 years earlier, Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt, accompanied by divine power and wonders. And yet when they found themselves in the wilderness, the people began to complain, saying, "If only we had meat to eat. Surely it was better for us in Egypt." They spoke against God, saying, "Is God able to provide food in the desert? I mean, look, he struck rock and water gushed out. Torrents overflowed. But can he provide bread? Or furnish meat for his people?" Well, the Lord heard their grumbling, and so he summoned Moses and the 70 elders of Israel, and he rebuked them for their complaints. He promised more food than they could ever hope to finish eating. But Moses said to the Lord, "I'm in the middle of a people with 600,000 foot soldiers, and yet you say, I will give them meat and they will eat for a month. If flocks and herds were slaughtered for them, would they have enough? If all the fish in the sea were caught for them, would they have enough?" The Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm weak? Now you will see whether what I have promised will happen for you." Jesus told disciples, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Disciples replied, "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now, those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples remembered the great deeds he had done. And you could just imagine what they realized when they began to put it all together. Jesus feeding the multitudes suddenly began to make sense. I mean, haven't we seen this before? You know, the prophet Elisha, confronted by 100 hungry men, in the power of the Lord, took and multiplied the bread and commanded the servants, "Give to the men that they may eat." And food was left over in abundance. But now it was happening again. Jesus took the bread, took it in hand to feed the people. Even as the God of Israel had fed the people manna and showered them with quail. Now, you know, the Jews in their writings often interpreted the quail that God had provided as if it were fish, coming up miraculously out of the sea, appearing in the middle of the desert. Bread and fish in the wilderness of old. And now stood Jesus doing what only God had ever done, multiplying the bread and the fish. In the person of Jesus Christ, God had returned to care for his people. And isn't that how the psalmist described it? "I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." He rained manna for them to eat. People ate the bread of heaven. He rained meat on them like dust and winged birds like the sands of the seas. The people ate and were completely satisfied. You know, the Jewish people in the decades after Jesus were sadly still expecting a messianic age when God would do again what he'd done for his people in the wilderness. One Jewish author at the end of the first century imagined the time when the Messiah would be revealed. "And it shall come to pass that the treasury of manna shall again descend from on high, and they will eat of it in those years, because these are they who have come to the consummation of time." The Jews were yearning for the day when they'd be fed yet again that manna from on high, and yet on this day stood Jesus Christ feeding the people as God alone, the bread of heaven. See, Matthew wants us to have a sense of deja vu. Jesus is doing what God had done for his people in the Exodus, and yet Matthew does not belabor the parallels. You know, Mark makes a big deal of it in his gospel. You know, Matthew wants us, yes, to note the parallels, but then he looks forward. He places the feeding of the 5,000 within a section of his gospel, where he's narrating how Jesus had transferred God's kingdom from Israel to the church. Now, you remember, this is a section of the gospel where Jesus promised to build his church upon the foundation of Peter and the disciples. As Jesus fed the 5,000, Matthew wants us to realize that that future messianic era the Jews were expecting, it had come. You know, the crowd that day was enjoying a taste of heaven. And soon the church would enjoy that same miraculous divine bread. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. And just a little later in the gospel, Jesus again blessed and broke a loaf of bread and gave it to the disciples. Matthew uses the exact same words for the Lord's Supper that he had used in the feeding of the 5,000. Even as Jesus had miraculously fed the 5,000 men and their families, on Maundy Thursday, yet another miracle was taking place. This was no mere food and drink. Jesus was providing his very body and blood. This was about more than just people's bodies. Jesus is providing nourishment for our souls, the forgiveness of sins. It really is the bread of angels. If we were to walk through the remains of the early Christian catacombs of Rome, or look at the frescoes they left behind, you would see that the Christians in their artwork always depicted the Lord's Supper not with bread and wine, but with bread and fish. See, they never lost sight of the fact that the Lord's Supper was no less a miracle than the day Jesus had divided the loaves and the fish for the 5,000 families. And yet, while we experience the healing of our souls in the Lord's Supper, Jesus did not neglect our bodies. Late that evening in his ministry, while the crowds desperately needed his teaching and his forgiving power, their bodies were hungry. Jesus proved himself that evening to be Lord not only of our souls, but of our entire being. And so he fed the hungry multitude. You know, the first Christians, they celebrated the Lord's Supper in the context of a potluck dinner, an ordinary meal. And when they celebrated the Lord's Supper, no one was to go away from their gatherings hungry. As the psalmist had said of God's provision, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. And that's why the Apostle Paul was so furious that when the Corinthians gathered to celebrate the Lord's Supper, some were going away from their gatherings hungry. How little they understand the Lord's provision. You know, the Lord's Supper remains a reminder not only of the forgiveness of our sins, food for our souls, but as we eat of the bread and drink of the wine, the Lord reminds us that he will also provide for our bodies too. He will not let his children go hungry. Jesus is concerned with our entire well-being. He is the Lord of all. In the last few verses of Matthew's gospel, the risen Jesus declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, aren't there times in our lives when you and I have wondered how God will provide for us? Aren't there days we can remember when we doubted the Lord's provision, just like the disciples doubted it 2,000 years ago? Now, I imagine most of us have experienced times when we were genuinely anxious how we're going to make it. You know, my wife tells me about how the Lord provided for her when she was a missionary with Youth for Christ in Germany. She had lined up her support before she left and then received that support in the form of a monthly check from the organization. But there were occasionally times when the exchange rate wasn't too favorable and she wondered how she'd make it to the end of the month. And yet, amazingly, an unexpected check would arrive to provide for her unmet needs from the hands of a servant of the Lord. Now, in my case growing up, my dad was in the oil industry with its ebbs and flows, and so he was often out of work between jobs. Now, we had enough money to provide for our daily needs, but there was nothing left over. I wanted to attend a small college in Indiana, and I'd been saving for college all throughout my childhood. I collected Coke bottles and beer cans from bars and construction sites to redeem for money. I had a newspaper route. But by the end of high school, we still weren't sure if I'd be able to make it through college. My parents didn't have anything saved for me, and I only had enough resources for a single year. We assumed that if I didn't have enough money to make it back my sophomore year, I'd just have to drop out. But somehow the Lord saw to it that I was able to stay in college. And the miracles didn't cease with college. The Lord provided for some 11 more years of school beyond college. Now, if you had asked me in high school, I would never have dreamed all that possible. Of course, it's easy to look at these things from hindsight. But the lesson is that the Lord will always provide just what we need in our lives. And that's why it's a sin to be anxious about our daily bread. We should never let money or the future worry us. Sure, we do our best to plan for the next day, but then we leave what remains to the Lord. And we rest our souls in his peace. You know, for those matters that are non-essential, like my college education, God will provide if he deems it necessary according to his good plan. But for those matters that are essential for us, our daily bread, We may not have a lot, but we'll never go hungry. The Lord's Supper is a reminder that if he has the power to take away the greatest need of all, the burden of our sins and our spiritual hunger, how much more can he take care of mere physical hunger and our daily needs? Never doubt the Lord's love for you. No matter how difficult your circumstances may be, when you receive Christ's body and blood upon your lips and your tongue, know well that your heavenly shepherd will never forsake you. The same God who went before Israel in a pillar of cloud and a cloud of smoke now rests over you and your household. He provided for them in the desert, and he'll provide now for you, because he's a God of compassion who genuinely cares for you. So Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and souls in Christ Jesus. Amen.